Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
And so as we looked at vision, we went from vision to those things that prevent visions from being born. Why are there so many infertile people in the body of Christ? Every branch in me should bear fruit, Jesus says. He says, and if it does not bear fruit, he says, I'll tear it down. But then he gives this story that is extremely paradoxical. It's almost like there's a schizophrenic part of Jesus. On the one hand, he says, I'm going to cut down these trees that don't bear fruit. Then he gives this story about a man who comes around and looks at a tree, the owner of this particular vineyard, and he looks at a tree and the tree was not bearing fruit. And he goes over to his worker and he says, cut this thing down. How long should I look at it in its non-fruitful state? And the worker looks at the owner and says, I'll tell you what, give me a year to work it. And he says something that is extremely important. He said, let me dig it and dung it. See, most people forget the dung. But digging it means break up the fallow ground, the hard soil, but then let me throw some mess on it. You can't grow unless God's throwing some mess on you. Let me throw some stuff that stinks. Let me put some people in your life that aggravate you, that frustrate you, that lie on you, that betray you. Let me put them up. And he says, then let me come back in a year and see if it is fruitful. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what happened. It doesn't tell us if he came back and found fruit. We don't know what happened because the moral of the story was God doesn't give up on you until he messes in your life. So if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, nothing's happening in my life, nothing of substance is happening to me, and I don't have any mess going on, then you're not bearing fruit. And so Jesus wants us to bear fruit. And so how are we to understand the fruit-bearing process? It is time for Christians to grow up and stop being theological babies. It's time for us to stop wearing our feelings on our sleeves. In short, it is time for us to stop being so easily offended. Why should the devil be allowed to run you out of your church because somebody sat next to you and didn't speak to you? Tell your neighbor, grow up. Do you know how it feels to have our sovereign Lord wake me up at ungodly times to sit with me and tell me that your leaders do not walk in love? 20 years ago, I would have taken it to heart and felt some degree of responsibility. But after how I've been preaching, I said, what do you want me to do about it? And then that parable began to ring in my mind. He said, remove them. Unlicense the preachers, remove the leaders, and start all over again. And I became like that worker. I said, Father, let me teach a series on love. Let me work with them a while. Let me show them that the enemy is deceiving them, that their gift, that all the stuff that they bring to the kingdom is not as important as who they are. And he said, go, and I'll give you a season to effect a change. He said, but if they don't change after that, I'm not going to ask you to remove them. I'm going to do it publicly. I said, God, This is how I know I'm getting older. Like Moses, I said, God, these are your people. And so this morning, as I was preparing to come to church, I had thought last night that blue is my favorite color, and I was going to wear a blue suit today with a blue shirt and this tie that was really snazzy. And when I awoke, the Holy Spirit says, put on your civic wear. I said, why? He said, today you're going to be my bishop, for you will speak from your position to effect a change. I thought, God, that wasn't significant. The people know me. He says, yeah, but they don't know you for who you are. Put on the civic wear. I resisted. I had hoped that I couldn't find my cross and chain, and thought I couldn't find the collar button, and everything was right where it was supposed to be. And so God began to deal with me. We can't have growth with the same immaturity. At some point, kindergarten is over. As much as I enjoyed kindergarten, I had to go to first grade. As much as I loved milk and cookies and nap time, I had to go to math and reading. As much as I enjoyed sitting in the pew, God had me here. In other words, saints of God, growth and change is inevitable. Prepare for it. Prepare for it. Solomon's heart is breaking in Proverbs chapter 1. If you read it from a father's perspective, you won't see the judgment of Pentecostal exegesis. You'll see a father who's saying, if you listen to me, your life won't be so difficult. If you listen to what I tell you, you won't make the same mistakes that I made. He said, but there may come a time in your life when you find yourself in the unenviable position of suffering the consequences for bad choices. He said, then you're going to call me and I'm going to mock you. And I'm not listening to you anymore because you had an opportunity to change. My mama always said, one day you're going to learn and I won't be there to tell you. Lord, was she prophetic? But if we listen to those who have gone ahead of us, this is why I don't understand young pastors today. They don't want to listen to anybody. I would sit with my pastor and bleed his brain. I said, there's no reason for me to fall in the same holes you did. Talk to me. Tell me. I don't care if people think, oh, you're just doing what he told you. You darn Skippy, I'm doing what he told me. If he's successful, why would I want to take a chance when I know somebody who's already played the game? You young women that want to be wives, Oprah can't tell you how to be a wife. She can tell you how to be rich, but she can't even tell you how to catch a man. Money can't catch a man. Because if money could catch a man, she'd have a man. But they can. They can tell you, you don't need to fight with your man, just fry him some chicken. Combination of the hot grease and the chicken settle in his stomach, all the fight will go out of him. He might start out telling you he ain't giving you nothing but one bite of your sweet potato pie. And he ain't pulled out his whole wallet. What do you need, baby? What do you need? But we don't listen. Now you listen to me today. And you do what I tell you. I'm not interested in popularity. I'm not interested in being a celebrity. I'm a celebrity at home. You see, if you don't get what you need at home, then you're going to come to church and try to make everybody else salute you and do all the other stuff. I don't need you to salute me. I get saluted at home. And I have family that'll salute me. So just listen to what I tell you. In Romans chapter 12, tell your neighbor, I'm going to do what he said today. God doesn't want us bitter. How do you know? Bitterness brings sickness. God does not bring sickness, he brings healing. So if you try to smile every now and then, even if you have to force yourself, Christianity and misery are not synonymous. One does not depend upon the other. Spiritual awakening does not mean you have to be mean. Smile. Some of you, everybody, smile. And some of you are going to be, won't even do it. You're just mean. And your smiling muscles are sitting there, and they're like, they're trying. You see, you can always tell people who have wrinkles in their forehead, those are your frowning lines. But these are your laugh lines. You see how my laugh lines are permanently embedded in my face? Because I laugh all the time. And when people don't make me laugh, I go watch MASH or Barney Miller. Something to make me laugh. Why? Because laughter is like a medicine. Number one, it releases endorphins in the brain, and that's God's natural heroin. When your endorphins kick loose, baby, you feel good. Secondly, laughter makes you change your perspective. Jesus says you can't be full of anger if you're laughing. It grieves my heart week after week to see people come in, mean when they come in, mean when I preach, and mean when they leave. And then you can hear it in their prophetic words. You can hear it in their preaching. You can hear it in their teaching. Just a bunch of meanness. Somebody said, Lambert, why do you joke all the time? Because I'm happy. You got to tell people the truth. Listen, the truth is you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and you're on your way to hell. Come to Jesus and flip that script. That's the truth. But I don't need to be miserable to tell you you're going to hell. You're going to hell. I was on the corner one day, and a guy drove up in a car, had his little family, and you could tell they were from out of town, probably Iowa or somewhere. And he drove up, and he asked me for directions to a certain place. And when I was giving him directions, it dawned on me that I was sending him through the hood. So I said, no, forget that. I said, take this road back to Broad Street. I said, and just keep going. Now, when you cross this street called Hunting Park, I said, don't stop until you get to Spring Garden. I said, just have somebody look. I said, run through lights, do whatever you can. Don't stop between Hunting Park and Spring Garden. He looked at me. He said, what if the light turned red? I said, take your chance with the police officer. I said, but don't stop on those streets. And don't use the Mac machine. Don't do it. Don't do it. He looked at me. I said, sir, you asked me for directions. I'm giving you life-saving directions. I don't know what happened to him. I didn't see him anymore. I wonder if there's a memorial in his hometown. But you have to learn to enjoy life.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
03116A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Beginning Monday, May 30th, 2016, the Climbing Higher telecast will air on WMCN-TV 44 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available through antenna television, Comcast cable, and Fios. Be sure to check your cable listings for WMCN-TV. The telecast is also available on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Start your day with an encouraging word from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. with the Climbing Higher telecast of Bethel Deliverance International Church, the church where miracles still happen.